Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, Elaine, victorious. Over the sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious.
My Bible, this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the book of Acts is a pattern for New Testament living. It's exciting what God did through his people in the book of Acts. And Jesus had promised his disciples, his hand-picked, hand-trained disciples, he had promised them the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit has been with us, has been with you, but now the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Don't even leave Jerusalem until you receive this endowment of power, because I'm going to give you power that will enable you to do the works that I have done and you've observed, and even greater works shall you do, Jesus said, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go to the Father and send the Holy Spirit, and he will help you, and you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. We are talking about our spheres of influence. And you are on the earth with a purpose. And you know what God could do if people received him and realized their need for him and received the Lord and put their faith and trust in Jesus? He could just take us to heaven. You know, that'd be pretty cool. Just from here to the mess that we face sometimes, and though we have joys and happiness and lots of good things on this earth, there's just always that sense of resistance and challenges. And life is challenging sometimes. And just to be in heaven, right in the presence of the Lord immediately. However, he needs us here. Because we are his body. He said, I'm going to go away. And so physically, Jesus is now our great high priest and intercessor. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. But we are his body in the earth. And so what Jesus would love to do in the earth, he's going to do through you and through me. The people that he'd like to touch in the earth, he's going to do that touching through you and through me in our various spheres of influence. Including our sphere of influence here in the community. And we talked about that. Yeah. And how sometimes we have the idea that it's an old icky world out there. And ooh, don't touch me, icky, nasty world. And really, because we're participants in this world, and the word says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're participants of a kingdom. But that's has opposite of what we would think. Kinds of participation, because we're part of a kingdom that says we're here to serve the world. Yeah. We're here to serve those who are broken and wounded. Amen. Jesus said, if you want to be greatest, you're going to serve everyone. Yes. And so he came, he said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. So Jesus served. He served the widows and the orphans. He served the woman caught in the act of adultery. He served the sick and the diseased and the maimed and the infirm. He served those people. He served the woman at the well who, having been married 5 times, is now living with someone to whom she's not married and is confused about religious things. And he encounters her and he serves her right there at the well. And if we don't have an attitude of serving, we will miss influencing our community, our world. And so if there are problem people in your awareness, start praying about how you can bless them. Amen. How can I serve them? You know, these kids are running around in my neighborhood tagging stuff. How they, Well, start praying about how you can be creative and figure out a way to help them channel their art in a more productive direction. Are you with me? That's what I'm talking about. So rather than being frustrated by the world, we should say, how can I serve this crazy, broken world and make a difference in their life? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in them. And I've got something within me that will help the lack that is in their life. God bless you, everyone. Drive safely. It's been good to see you. Go have a Tootsie Roll or whatever they've got over there, and we'll see you next week. Okay. Everyone with me? And then we talked about serving at work. And if you want to be an influencer at work, it's important for you to show up and to be diligent at work and meeting your coworkers where they are, not where we wish they were. How many of you just have very rarely do I ever meet anyone that is where I wish they were? They're just not quite kind enough, or their interests don't match up with mine quite right, so they're just, or maybe they have a different spiritual bent or a different theological understanding of certain things, or they're just not quite right. Or they smoke, or they don't smoke. You know what I mean? But if we're going to influence our workplace, we have to meet people where they are. And I told my personal story when I went to work for the County of Riverside Mental Health Department, that there was a young man who worked there who's a gay man, and he was sure that I was somehow, he found out that I was a preacher in addition to being a psychologist, and he was certain that I was coming there to condemn him and to beat him and to flog him with my big Bible. And so he was not happy that I was there. Well, over the course of 3 years, I just kept loving him and loving him and met him right where he was in his aggravation and his snippiness and his curt remarks. Are you with me? I just met him right there. That's where he was, so might as well meet him there. Not going to wait around until he gets all wonderful and likes me and happy that I'm there. I'm just going to meet him where he is and just loved him and loved him and loved him and loved him, was kind to him. And by the time I left the County of Riverside, he was the one most moved with sadness that I was not going to be there anymore. Wow. Well, love never fails, obviously, we know that. But meeting people, my point is meeting people where they are. And then our speech is always to be seasoned. We should flavor the atmosphere. Yeah. When we come into the room and when we come into the mix, it should change the flavor of the soup. Amen. I told this story before, but I like this illustration. When my son had, my youngest, Caleb, who got to spend some time with him yesterday, when he was 11, was hit by a car right out here at this intersection and had a traumatic brain injury and broken leg and a broken ankle on the other leg and in a coma, and 3 months we were at Loma Linda University Children's Hospital, and it was an incredible, horrible, wonderful journey. Painful, but wonderful because watching God work. And so it was just quite an experience for me. This is 11 years ago. And so one day he had come out of the coma, and they had to learn to walk again and talk, so quite an experience for us, and they were doing physical therapy, and they had pulled the curtain. So I came into his room, and he was in lots of pain. It was very painful because he'd been unable to move, and muscles had sort of atrophied to some degree, and so he'd have to bend his foot up, and it was very painful. So they were trying to get him, but I had him sitting on the side of the bed, and I walked into the room, and the curtain was pulled. And I'm just listening to all that's going on, and I heard him say, because when he first started talking again, he talked real, real slowly. And he said, "My dad is here because I can smell his cologne." Yes. I've worn the same cologne for all my life. But he knew that I was there because of the aroma. We need to bring the aroma of Jesus. The sweet fragrance of compassion. and tenderness and mercy and all that Jesus was when he engaged broken people. That's what we bring. And so we should flavor the atmosphere, talking about influencing at work. And then Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it releases God's power. Today I want to talk to you about relationship at church. You know, you not, may not be aware, but I want you to just grasp this reality that Jesus in Matthew 9, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus was being thronged by people who followed him and were in the wonderful meeting where he was healing and delivering and setting captives free and building hope in the lives of broken people. And there was a great multitude of people with him, but when Jesus looked off into the distance, there was a great multitude of people who were not with him, who had not been in the meetings. And Jesus looked off to those people who were hurting, confused. There was no direction in their life. And the scripture says that Jesus was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. And he said, you know, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth labors into his harvest. And then immediately activated those who were with him and sent them to out into that harvest. But I want you to see that Jesus was moved with compassion toward people because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Every human being needs a pastor. We are created for connection, and how Jesus ministers primarily to his people is through relationship in a local church. That's where we work it out. That's where we walk it out. That's where we grow. That's where we kind of rub up against one another and improve on one another. And relationship with a local church is vital to your spiritual growth and development. Would you two move over? And we should feel bad for people who don't have a shepherd. They're like sheep having no shepherd. They're just trying to work it out. And Jesus, Ephesians 4 says that Jesus gave gifts to the church. And they're in human form. And some are apostles, and some are prophets, and some are evangelists, and some are pastors, and some are teachers. And they're given to us these gifts in the form of ministry function and in human form, and usually, let me just say, imperfect human form. Because very few of us are perfect. Amen. Just very, very few. So these gifts are imperfect because they come in human packaging, but that grace and that gifting that Jesus has placed upon men and women, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers, those gifts are to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Amen. To perfect and to mature believers for the work.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Of the ministry. And if you've ever said words like this, do you know what the church ought to do? Is a big clue that God's call on your life. I remember one time we had the staff, we had, you know, five or six people who worked in the office, and we're folding a mailer. We're going to do a mailer, and this young lady wasn't thinking. She's on staff getting a paycheck, and she said, you know, we ought to hire someone to do this. True story. True story. I was beside myself. I thought, we did, honey. It was pretty tedious, mundane work, you know, folding and folding and folding. We ought to hire someone to do this. That's a good idea. So I want to talk to you about relationship with the local church. And certainly the universal church. We're all part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that works its way out. The church works its way out in the local church. And roles and relationships and responsibility and accountability are part of our connection with one another. And we improve on one another. And we help one another. And we're good for one another. And we frustrate one another. And that's perfect because that creates a context for improvement. And we honor one another, and we celebrate one another, and we cherish one another, and we get ticked off at one another and have to work it out. I mean, it's just all the human relationships work. Don't look at me in that holy tone of voice. The book of Acts chapter 1. Here it says in Acts chapter 1. That the number of names together in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, was about 120. We're talking about those who are waiting in Jerusalem for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and it says that the number of names together was about 120. So there was some organization and structure and collecting of names and knowing about how many were there and who was there and what they were about. Are you with me? So there was structure and organization. People who say things like, I don't believe in organized church, are just, bless their hearts. Yeah. It's like saying, I don't believe in organized government. Yeah. I don't believe in organized family. Right. I don't believe in organized banking. Right. I don't believe, of course you have to have organization. When people are involved, there must be structure and organization and relationship and roles and accountability and responsibility. That's just part of working together. And then later in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. So I have 3 points. Number one, if we're going to have relationship and right relationship in the local church, there must be a sense of community. Yes. Community. Yes. Connection, if you will. And that we fit together and we work together and we love one another for the cause of a greater purpose than any one of us could accomplish on our own. There's a synergy when we work together. Yes. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So there's the synergistic effect on our efforts when we're working together in harmony and in love. Yeah. Amen. The Tower of Babel, God's own testimony was, I have to confuse their language because nothing they imagine to do will be withheld from them because they're all speaking the same thing. Right. There is such power in unity and harmony and relationship and articulating and communicating goals that even God, because they were just doing this for their own glory and their own self-aggrandizement, that God had to confuse their language because anything they imagined to do was possible. And so, number one, if we're going to have a good relationship with church, we have to acknowledge the sense of community and that it is important to be a part of. That it is in our interest, in our best interest, and for our benefit to be a part of a church family. And to allow the Lord to plant us. And to make a determination, I'm not going to be the potting of the Lord. Because you can take a pot and move it around. That's right. Yeah. But when we're planted, roots happen. And connection is more significant. And it's less whimsical. In our commitment. So we're the community of Christ. We're Jesus' community. And a little expression of that community is right here and in the other churches in this valley whom we pray for, certainly. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and they're in one place. So they're not all at home watching it on TV.
Amen.
Thank you. Nothing wrong with watching stuff on TV. But they're in one place and they're in one accord. Hanging out together, waiting together, excited together, anticipating together, getting hungry together. I got a headache, me too, together. How long is this going to take, together? What did Jesus say again? Together. Are you with me? They're in one place in one accord, and there they are together. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, and then we'll move on to the next point, and it says in verse 41, let's look at 41, and Peter preached his first message under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people got saved. Then, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were about 3,000 souls, and they individually went and found their favorite TV preacher and ordered CDs. Oh, wait, no. Man. So I appreciate ministry. I appreciate folks. Are you with me? But there's something about the connection. It says these 3,000 got saved and were baptized. And you'd have a busy day that day, my brother. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. They're hanging out. They're praying together. They're eating together. It's very difficult to criticize people for whom you pray or with whom you break bread. I said it's very difficult to criticize people for whom you pray. The more we complain about politicians, the more we tell ourselves, I ain't praying. Because we're praying, we're saying, okay, God, work in that person's life, that man, that woman, whoever it is, work in their life. Lord, move, turn the heart of the king, and help God, our president, for example. Guide our president, surround him with righteous voices. Help him to hear your voice. Help him to lead our nation in the paths of righteousness. Help, and we're praying over him. It's hard to criticize. It's hard to be critical of people that you break bread with. It's difficult to do, and that's good. Because there's no promise. Listen, there's no Bible promise connected to complaining.
Come on.
Now, praying, there's promise. Pray for those in authority over us that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. That's a good promise. But complaining, no promise. So they continued, I digress, I apologize. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There is a great recipe for healthy connection with other believers. Wow. Studying together, hearing the word together, working that out together, praying together, eating together, fellowshipping together. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And not just the church, you know, not just coming once, you know, hear a message once a week, but hanging out. You know, every month we have a men's group. And last year, and we've just launched this season. Last year it was so good. So good. Al, I'll never forget the message you brought us. That was so, and your transparency and your passion. It was so good. And then we ate barbecue. Come on now. That breaking bread right in the Bible, breaking bread. We got the doctrine and we got the teaching, but we got the barbecue too. Come on, get the whole picture right there. Number two, community, there is a culture developed. And this year, as we've established the themes, January, we talked about framing our year with faith. In February, we talked about the power of love. So each month, there's been a theme. And the reason for those three themes is because the entrance of God's word gives us light. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free and liberate you. And so there's liberty in continuing in the word. And we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so that transformation process from who we are when we come to Christ and who he's leading us to become, all that happens through the teaching of the word. But one of the reasons that we talked about those themes and have been talking about the themes that we've chosen this year is to create culture.
Yes,
sir. Amen. A culture of faith. God can do anything. My God is a miracle God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, kind of a culture. So that when you show up at church and say, you know, the doctor gave me a bad report, we don't all lay down and go, oh no, but there's a culture of faith. My God, in Jesus' name, we're going to pray for our sister, pray for our brother. We're going to bombard hell and bombard heaven. And are you with me? There's a confidence and a faith in a God that loves us. A culture of love. Not a culture of whispering and backbiting. And I grew up in churches. Listen to me. The reason we're not a denominational church, we're interdenominational, but we're not affiliated, because as a young man, I walk past the door one too many times when they're having a board meeting on the other side of that door. And it didn't sound good to me. If that's what you got to do, I ain't going to be a preacher. I'm not interested in being at conflict with people. I'm not interested in arguing and getting in the flesh and screaming and yelling about what God's saying for the church. I don't think that has anything to do with leadership in the church. That's weird. Now, does stuff come up? Of course. But if you have a spirit of love and a culture of love, and a culture of honoring one another and celebrating one another. Amen. You know, there's a remarkable diversity in this church family. And in the book of Acts, it's interesting because things are rolling along, 3,000 people getting saved in one sermon, and they're all getting baptized and fellowshipping and all that, and then there arose a murmuring. The Greek widows weren't getting their fair share of the food distribution for the widows. There's the devil right away. So God gave them wisdom. Let's find 7 sharp young Greek men here in this congregation that have a heart and understand the culture of the Greek widows. Unless you choose them, and the apostle said, we'll appoint them and we'll lay hands on them and install them. And we're going to put them over this business of delivering groceries to the Greek widows so that everyone's getting a fair distribution. Amen. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. There's one of the greatest miracles of the Bible. Everyone seemed happy about the resolution. Are you with me? So when things arise, I grew up in a church. I got saved. I didn't grow up, but I got saved in a little Baptist church that split so many times it failed to exist anymore. It's a true story. And it reminds me of the story of the Baptist who was stranded on an uncharted island, and a ship was passing by, and they spotted the island, and they seemed like there was possibly life. And so they sent a tender over from the ship to the island, and the boat driver, whatever you call that in nautical terms, and the captain of the ship went over, and they found this Baptist on the island. They said, well, who are you? He said, I'm a Baptist. I've been stranded here for 5 years. He said, oh my goodness, we're glad we found you. He said, I'm glad you found me too. He said, how have you survived? He said, coconut milk and coconuts. And they noticed there are 3 buildings there on the island that this Baptist had built over the course of 5 years. And they said, well, look, and it's amazing. And the captain said, can I come ashore? And he said, well, sir, come ahead. And he said, well, what's that first building? He said, that's my house. That's where I live. I've built my nice little place here, you know, with this rustic tools and so on but that's my house. He said, what's the second building? And he said, that's my place of worship. You know, I'm a Baptist, and I believe in going to church. And even though it's only me, I build a church building. And he said, that's where I go to church. And they said, what's the third building? And the Baptist said, that's where I used to go to church. I don't know if that's a true story or not. I think it is. But Baptists, we Baptists, we like to argue and then not resolve it, but split. And so You know, I grew up in Harmony Baptist, and then they split and became True Harmony Baptist, and then they split and became New Harmony Baptist, and the harmony seemed to be in discord, but... creating culture. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, if you would, chapter 4. In the book of Ephesians, I love, the book of Ephesians is so rich. I was listening yesterday, well, who's the harvest guy? Greg Laurie, yeah. Teaching on Ephesians 1. Oh, just got so blessed just listening to him for a few minutes. Ephesians is such a pregnant, if you will, rich, full letter from the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, and talks a lot about relationships. And we quoted from here last week or a couple of weeks ago at least, and connecting with people. And so let's look at here. We're talking about culture. Number one, we want to have a sense of community that's healthy. Jesus was moved with compassion who were not connected in community. They were like sheep having no shepherd. Number two, if we're going to be part of community, we need to acknowledge there's culture and that that's good. And that healthy culture helps us not only in our relationships here, but helps us outside the church. A culture of faith, a culture of love, a culture of honor, a culture of serving, a culture of generosity, which we talked about. If you are a stingy person, determine right now, I'm going to be a generous person. Because God can afford me to be generous. Not wasteful, not talking about that, not necessarily opulent, but generous. Amen. Okay, move them up here. I heard an amen. I heard amen. I don't know what you heard. I heard what I heard was preach it, Pastor. That's what I heard. Ephesians 4. Let's look at a couple of verses here, verse 14. And we quoted already part of this earlier, that Jesus gave gifts to the church, that we henceforth, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And listen, that force is a factor in this world today. Not everyone that names the name of Jesus or quotes verses of Scripture is motivated by the love of Christ. Right. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we want to grow up into him in all things, which is the head of the church, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Not loosely joined together. Right. Not touching one another occasionally, but fitly joined together. Connected with one another and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effective or effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you know in your joints there is a, Dr. Brown, you can help me on this. If I misspeak, just jump up and say, eh. In our joints, we have synovial fluid. Am I okay so far? Your body creates synovial fluid to lubricate your joints so that it is not painful when those joints are being moved. And it says here that every joint supplies... And so when we're working together and we're connected together, the body will create synovial fluid so that we can function together, one part connecting to another part, different parts but connected, that we can, that the edifying of itself in love is like that synovial fluid. So we strengthen one another, we help one another, we partner with one another without pain because every joint supplies this beautiful lubricant so that we are working together in harmony. And so we're fitly joined together. So the second thought is that we have culture in our community. Number three, and I conclude with this, we must be committed.
Amen.
Thank you, Josh. I said we must be committed. Amen. To this community and to this culture.
Amen.
Some people choose to go to First Church of the Long Tongue Deacon. There are people who don't feel alive unless they're in strife. They're in conflict. That's how they feel life is, to be in conflict. That is a hell of a way, and I mean that in the literal sense, of existing.
Yeah.
Heaven's way of existing is to have a culture of love and connection and honor and respect and compassion and mercy. That's heaven's way. Whether it's envying and strife and confusion, where those things are happening, Paul said, every evil work is released. That's, strife is not the will of God. That doesn't mean we won't have opportunity for strife. It just simply means when we have opportunity that we resolve it and we don't live in it and we don't get a sense of significance from it. So we have to be committed. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 4. I will just be really brief here, but this is important, this commitment idea. In Acts 4, Peter and John were in trouble because the prior chapter, Acts chapter 3, they'd gone to the temple, and there was a man lame from his mother's womb who they put him daily at the temple gate, the temple there. To beg. And so Peter and John and everyone in town knew this person. Everyone was very aware of him, and Peter and John said, you know, what Jesus said was we're going to do the works that he did, and now we're empowered with the Holy Spirit. And I just preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Man, I'm just feeling it, Pete said to John. And so Peter looked at the guy, and he said, look at us, and he looked up expecting to receive a nickel. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he jumped up immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple, messed up their religious service, and made all the religious people with their costumes and hats and all the stuff they had on. This guy comes spinning through, screaming and shouting and jumping and leaping, can you imagine? And praising God because he's been lame from his mother's womb and he's healed. And they called in Peter and John and they said, what have you done? And they said, we haven't done anything. But in the name of Jesus that you crucified, remember him? Well, he's alive and he's fine. And in his name and by his authority, this man stands before you whole. That didn't go over too good. And here are the words of the religious system of that day. Hear the hiss of the serpent in these words. We cannot deny. Listen to me. We cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done, but that it spread no further. Let us threaten them. We cannot deny that this man, we know him, we've seen him, he's been lame all of his life. We can't deny that he's healed. There's no sense in trying to deny it, but we don't want anyone else to be healed. We don't want any other crippled people to get strength. We don't want any. Can you imagine saying such words? But that it spread no further, let us threaten them. And they commanded them not to teach at all nor to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they'd already said this, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. They said, well, don't preach in that name anymore. Don't talk about that. Of course, that's very alive in our world today. Pray a nice prayer if you would, Reverend, but don't say Jesus. Now, Muslims can boldly get up and pray Allah, but don't say Jesus. Because I give invocations at public city council meetings in this city, in the city of Palm Springs, and sheriff's department kinds of functions, and they get real nervous. This look, you know, let that out. Whatever that is, it's making that look on your face. So they were beaten and threatened and commanded and all that they went through. Listen, listen, listen now. Commitment to community. Acts chapter 4. Verse 21. Or verse 20, it says, all we can do is talk about what we've seen and heard. That's all we can do. Yeah. Mr. Religious Person, we just got to share what the Lord's done for us. Yeah. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. Because everyone was so happy and they're glorifying God because this man's healed that everyone knows. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Verse 23, listen. And being let go, Peter and John went to their own company. And they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. And when they heard that, they said, please don't embarrass us like that ever again. This denomination has been... No, that's not what they said. They came and reported everything that had been said, and they went to their own company. And you know what their own company did? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, your God, which has made heaven and earth and all and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? He says, verse 29, behold their threatenings. And here's their prayer. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And as they prayed, the place was shaken. Here's the point. If you're not committed to community, you're not going to have the benefit of being able to receive that strengthening and that encouragement. If you're somewhat detached, or you're completely detached, or you're occasionally involved, the benefit and the blessing of being part of a church family is going to be deficient for you. Are you with me? There are benefits, magnificent benefits, to being connected with community and to embracing the culture, the healthy culture. There's no church is perfect because it's made up of human beings, and there's no human that is perfect, but we are being perfected. And we can have an awareness that when there are issues, that they can be resolved. They can be worked through. And what a great context for working through issues, human relationship issues. What a great context the church is for that. and helps us to hone our skills for other contexts. But the lack of commitment is going to cost you benefits of being part of a church family. I want every benefit. I want to know all the benefits. I don't even want it to seem to fall short of some blessing that God has for me. They went to their own company. And their own company responded, not by shaming them, but by encouraging them and praying over them. And they said, Lord, do it some more. We're not going to shrink back. Keep it up. And encourage them to fulfill their call. I conclude with these verses. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 10. You all know them probably. Verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another to provoke one another to love and good works. Do you know we're supposed to be thinking about one another? Let me encourage you. We talk about this and we put it in the bulletin occasionally. It is our goal to minister to every person. And if you are facing something in your life, we are very poor mind readers. You have to let us know what's going on. And our goal is never to drop the ball or to fail or to come short and caring and loving and nurturing people who are part of this church family. You have to let us know. And the information center is a great way to do that. Calling the church office is a great way to do that. The office is not open every day. And so sometimes if you're at church and you're thinking about it, just to let them know in the info center and make sure they're writing that down so that we don't drop the ball, because we care about you. And our goal is, when you're having a tough time, is to serve and to love and to pray and to be there. We have a whole team of people that's what they do. And so we're supposed to be thinking about one another. Consider one another, Hebrews says. Think about one another. Consider one another. How we might provoke one another to love and good works. Not forsaking, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some believers do, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, I see the day approaching, and I think we come together more and more.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.